Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Proverbs 29 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Another translation puts it this way: without revelation, people cast off restraint. I maintain that revelation is essential for spiritual vision. And without spiritual vision, people go unrestrained. We live in a society that has cast off restraint. When someone is blind to the kingdom of God, they will not live according to the rule of the king. They will deny the existence of the king and his kingdom and live however they please. Paul said in Ephesians, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." The apostle's concern for the church is that our eyes would be enlightened in order for us to be enriched by the things we are destined to inherit. He implies that this does not happen automatically. Therefore, he prays that it will come to pass. We would do well to echo his prayer. One of my favorite songwriters, Paul Baloche, wrote the song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart." It has been a very popular song in the church. I believe it struck a chord in our hearts. I'm sure all of us would like our spiritual sight to improve. Enlightenment is a common theme in any spiritual culture. Most religions contain some version of it. Allow me to share some insight about spiritual eyesight in the Bible. In that famous conversation in John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Because Nicodemus did not yet have spiritual vision, Jesus had to explain to him, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Have you ever noticed that some people see things that others are blind to? Have you ever heard someone say, "The Bible doesn't make sense to me"? Maybe even in your own life, there are things that you did not understand before your spiritual rebirth. You just didn't see it before, but now it all seems so clear. Even very religious people don't always see the kingdom of God. In Matthew 23, Jesus called out the most religious people of his day, the Pharisees, for being blind. He pointed out evidence of their blindness, including materialism, legalism, hypocrisy, self-indulgence, and neglect of others. I wonder if he would say anything different to the modern church. Sin and selfishness cause spiritual blindness. 2 Peter 1 also links spiritual blindness to morality, or lack of the same. "Now for this very reason also, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." Notice that spiritual vision assumes growth if these qualities are increasing, he says. Otherwise, there is spiritual memory loss. In his most famous sermon, Jesus said, the pure in heart shall see God. I used to think this meant that if I purify myself, I get to go to heaven and see God. But now I believe it means that if my heart is pure, clear of pollution and things that cloud my vision, I will see God every day, everywhere, in everything and everyone. I see Him not only in the scriptures and hymns and fellowship. I see Him in nature. I see Him in the arts. I see Him in everyday people. I see Him everywhere I go. In his first letter, John proclaims, "If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." To walk in the light means to be exposed. It requires honesty with others. And loving God requires loving others. Sometimes blindness is caused by an external source, like an injury or disease. Hear what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Blindness can occur for other reasons as well. One may be born blind. This is why we must be born again. In our fleshly state, we do not see the kingdom. We do not have spiritual eyesight. Not only that, one may refuse to open his eyes, perhaps because of fear of what might be seen. Like a child closing his eyes so he won't see the imaginary monsters in his room, we are often afraid of the unknown. We are afraid to trust God with the future. This again is why we need to pray, "Open the eyes of my heart." When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And again, in the Old Testament, Elisha and his attendant were surrounded by the enemy. And when the attendant panicked, the prophet prayed that the young man's eyes would be opened, and when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw a vast army waiting there to defend them. Sometimes we live in fear because we do not see the resources God has put right in front of us. In those times, we need revelation. Revelation means to reveal. To reveal something is to remove an obstruction, like removing the lid from a pot so we can see what's cooking, or like unwrapping a present and taking it out of the box. We need what has been given to us to be revealed, and that's what revelation does. It allows us to see what our Heavenly Father has prepared for us. You know, I'm famous for not being able to find things that to others are in plain sight. My wife often has to say to me, it's not in front, you need to move something. Or it's not right on top. There are many things that can hinder our vision which need to be removed in order for us to see clearly. Now there is a deeper application of spiritual vision that the scriptures talk about. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell in a mighty way on the believers, and the people in the city who saw and heard and experienced this thing were asking, "What does this mean?" And so Peter got up and began to preach, and he quoted the prophet Joel, who said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." I want to mention three examples of visions that happen in the New Testament. The first one is in Acts chapter 10. And there was a man named Cornelius who was devout, and he was seeking the Lord. And he had a vision in which an angel came to him and said, "Send for a man called Peter in Joppa." And so he did. The next day, Peter was up on his roof praying, and he had a vision. And the Spirit said to him, "There are three men waiting for you. Go with them, and do not doubt." Now, the word doubt used here is the word diakrino, and the root of that word is judge. And what the implication here is, when you doubt God, you're judging Him. And you never want to put yourself in a position of judgment over God. So Peter went, and it's a great story because what happened is the gospel opened up, and these Gentile people were baptized and brought into the church because Peter was obedient. And all this happened through visions given to Cornelius and to Peter. I also refer to this story as the Peter-Cornelius principle. The Spirit told Cornelius to send for Peter, who would have a message for him. And he warned Peter that Cornelius's men were coming. As a pastor, sometimes I would have someone enter the church that I'd never met, didn't know, and they would say, "I have a word from God for your congregation." And my response would always be, "You know, God didn't warn me that you were coming. I don't know who you are, and He didn't tell me to expect somebody like you with that message." And so be very careful when someone kind of barges into your kitchen and says, "Thus saith the Lord." God will give you preparation to receive that word if it's really from Him. The next example is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talks about having this incredible vision. He doesn't go into detail about what it was he saw, but he says it was such a marvelous thing that he was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. Now he prayed and asked God three times to remove this thorn in his flesh. And God said, "My grace is sufficient," and didn't remove the thorn. There are different theories about what this thorn was. My opinion is that he had poor eyesight, and there's evidence to that. At the end of his letters, he would often sign off in his own handwriting. He would dictate the letters, but at the end, he would sign it, and he would use very large letters because his eyesight was so poor. There's also another place where he says, "I know that you would pluck out your own eyes and give them to me if you could." So it's obvious that Paul had an eyesight problem, but his spiritual vision was very, very clear. It's also interesting to note that Paul prayed three times for healing and never received it. And this kind of flies in the face of those people that say all you have to do is speak something and God is at your command. No, He is not our servant. We are His. And Paul humbly accepted what God had given him. The final example is the vision that the disciple John had while in exile on the island of Patmos. We refer to it as the Book of Revelation because it was this incredible vision and revelation of futuristic events. And for the record, I'm very leery about someone who claims to know what all of the details in the Book of Revelation mean. It's a very difficult book to try to interpret, and you certainly should not take everything in there literally. So much of it is John trying to explain this vision that he saw in his language, in terms of his culture, about things that have yet to happen that there's no way he could put into words. At any rate, Revelation concludes the Bible, and it's a tremendous prophecy. And one of the key lines in the Book of Revelation is in chapter 19, where it says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And so dreams and visions and prophecy, ultimately, their purpose is to testify of Jesus. And this should be true as we seek spiritual vision in our own lives. We live in a time and culture that has so many things hindering our vision. We need revelation. We need vision. And we need it most in the church. Here is how to maintain spiritual vision. 1, you must first be born again. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, do it right now. Ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Him to let you see. 2, you need the Father to reveal His kingdom. Ask God to show you what you have not been seeing. Ask Him for revelation. 3, keep your heart pure and uncluttered from things that impede your vision. Ask the Lord to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And finally, remember, we wrestle with rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. Our enemy is not other people, but our enemy is real, and we do battle with him on our knees. Would you pray with me right now? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let me see your kingdom. Let me see your plan. Renew vision in your people. Heal our land. Amen. This is Jim Barrier, and I hope you will join me again soon on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.